Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. If you didn't get enough of Andrew Bernstein, by the way, you can listen to our election season podcast, Digesting Politics, every week between now and Election Day. Andrea and Ozzie Pabura and Bob Henley and I get together over lunch to talk politics in a 15-minute podcast. You can sign up for the free Digesting Politics podcast at our politics website. It's freecountry.org. In 1999, Justice Thomas Spargo ran for a New York town judgeship. He campaigned hard, handing out free food and buying rounds at a local bar. Unlike many judges, however, Justice Spargo continued on the political path once he was elected, speaking at political fundraisers and even protesting at the Miami-Dade County Board of Elections to disrupt the 2000 recount of the ballots in the Bush v. Gore contest. He conducted himself like a partisan actor when not on the bench. At the same time, however, Justice Spargo continued to maintain that the actions of his political life were not impinging on his rulings or his interpretation of the law. He claimed he could and must keep them separate. But is such a stance really possible? Well, the American public is pulling off some of the same doublethink logic every day. On the one hand, we seem to believe that judges pass down rulings as neutral arbiters of the law. On the other, that they are political animals who base their opinions on their own partisan feelings and on the votes or appointments that put them in place. That's according to Keith Bybee, a judicial scholar and the author of a new book, All Judges Are Political Except When They're Not. Keith, welcome to WNYC.
Oh, it's good to be here, Brian. Thanks.
How is it that Americans seem to believe both that judges rely on the law and that they base their rulings on personal political leanings? Can both things be true?
Well, a lot of people actually think both things can't be true. There seems to be, just at the level of logic, a conflict or a paradox here. If you think on the one hand that judges are impartial and that they base their decisions on the facts and arguments and the law in each case, but on the other hand you suspect that their decisions are really motivated by their personal beliefs and political attachments, it would seem like those are incompatible views, that the political view of judging over time is going to chip away at or altogether eclipse this legal understanding. Yet, a lot of Americans manage to hold both points of view in their heads at the same time. If we look at public opinion polls that is gauging public views of either state judges or federal judges or justices on the Supreme Court or even just judges in general, we see consistently that large majority of Americans simultaneously believe that judges are impartial and fair and that they're political actors. So, to my mind, the interesting thing is to try to explain how this seeming contradiction can actually be stable, how it can be an enduring contradiction.
Well, that's a contradiction in public opinion. We spent about the first half hour of the show today looking at how uninformed public opinion is in New York State about how the state spends its money and how it could balance its books. When it comes to the judiciary, is the public any more informed? In other words, is one or the other simply objectively true, that judges are more likely to make rulings based on some neutral concept of law or more likely to make them based on their personal political leanings?
Well, if you talk to scholars, I think what you'll see is actually that the body of scholarship on the American judiciary reproduces a rough version of this same conflict in the public views. There are lots of scholars, many of them political scientists, that think that the judicial process in the United States is just a matter of politics. But there are also lots of other scholars that think the judicial process operates on principle, that it's a matter of reasonable judgment. But going back to actually the specific question whether American public really knows anything about courts, in some ways they don't. I mean, it's true. You can find all kinds of ignorance among ordinary Americans about how courts operate. Every 6 months or so, there's a new poll out that demonstrates actually huge gaps in the detailed knowledge that the Americans have. Americans know the names of more of the seven dwarves than they do of the nine members of the Supreme Court. But on the other hand, just because Americans don't know details doesn't mean that they don't have some meaningful judgments to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what the public opinion is capturing. They may not be able to tell you who the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is, but they have a sense of how the courts operate. And interestingly, this sense roughly corresponds to the same kind of paradoxical picture that scholars present of the judicial process. So I think public opinion is capturing something.
I want to get back to the Supreme Court in a minute, but does the manner in which judges make it to the bench seem to matter either to public perception or to reality or expert perception, that is, whether judges are appointed or elected?
I think the manner of selection makes a huge difference. Almost 90% of judges at the state level in 39 states have to stand for election in one form or another as a way of either to get on the bench or stay on the bench. And over time, we're seeing that these elections are becoming increasingly indistinguishable from ordinary partisan contexts.
We also know, certainly in New York, those elected judges are highly politically connected because almost nobody in the public knows who they're voting for judge. You know, people don't vote even in judge elections very much. But in order to get on the ballot in the first place, the judge has to be nominated by party bosses from the different boroughs or counties.
Oh, and that's not just true in New York. You see that all across the United States, even in states that make a huge effort to inform voters about judicial records. In Colorado, for example, they have a well-established judicial performance evaluation process, which every year, you know, compiles a lot of information, makes it available to voters. But the most common strategy for voters in Colorado, most of whom, by the way, admit themselves that they're uninformed about their voting choice, is simply to just vote everybody in. And the second most common strategy is just to vote randomly. So even in a state where we have efforts to inform people about judges' records and either prior to the bench or their records if they've been sitting on the bench, we don't see that the public is really calling a lot of the shots. There's a lot of political connections.
So I wonder if, ironically, appointed judges, and they're appointed by politicians, obviously, are less political in how they come to the bench than elected judges. If elected judges get onto the ballot through the backroom party leaders, and appointed judges are often appointed through some fairly clean processes. I think we have that in New York. Some fairly, you know, nonpartisan, neutral, looking for qualified judges from either party that then come to the mayor or to the state. That the appointed judges may actually be, you know, coming in sort of cleaner than the elected judges.
There's certainly people who make that argument. A lot of them are judges who go through that system, for example. But at the level of public opinion and scholarship, they're really kind of dubious about how neutral such judges are. Uh-huh. For example, you'll see in public opinion polls that majorities are just as likely to think of their judges in states as political, whether they got on the bench through partisan election or through some merit selection process. And from the scholarly point of view, they often see, and some judges will report this, that you know, even when you go through a merit system, you have to be connected in some ways. But more importantly, to stay on the bench, usually you have to survive just a retention election. And in order to keep a retention election a sleepy, low-key affair, judges will often engage in behavior to make sure that they, you know, stay below the radar, that they don't make a controversial decision. And that means, for example, oftentimes much harsher sentencing practices on the run-up to a retention election. Because for a judge, it makes more sense to mete out a heavier sentence than to take a risk that some kind of leniency might lead to a bad outcome right before what should be a slam dunk re-election for the judge.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You mentioned in the book that in the 1920s and 30s, the Supreme Court decisions were almost all unanimous. Now we become very familiar with the 5-4 ruling, essentially along party lines. Is there a solution to this, or maybe we're better off with judges reflecting the politics of the politicians who the people elected?
You know, I think that some people definitely would like to go back to an earlier era where the court looked more like it was dealing with eternal and fixed principles of law. But as you mentioned, I mean, we had a century-long trend towards conflict, dissent, and lack of unanimity. And I think you can look at it two ways. You can say, like, you know, this is terrible. They look like they're a political body squabbling over governance of the legal system, and that's bad. On the other hand, I think it's a real achievement that we take a lot of our conflicts to the courts, that we bother to clothe our personal and political interests in legal terms rather than just shouting at each other in the streets. So I think the enthusiastic use of the legal system to advance political goals is something that, you know, from a systemic or structural perspective, is actually a good thing when you consider some of the alternatives that societies have used.
Keith Bybee, judicial scholar and author of the new book, All Judges Are Political, Except When They're Not. Thank you very much. Good discussion.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.